Yeah, okay. This is Chuni F. Benga, well done. My popular opinion would let me give a short story to explain this. So I think it was 3-4 years ago. Chrissy Hideo was organizing this theme show, if I could call it that, where he brings industry enthusiasts together and then shows all these old Nollywood movies, your Blood Diamond and whatnot, Overblow and whatnot, some of those films from the middle 90s or to late 90s. And we realized from, or I realized from watching all of those films, that there is a lot of nostalgia here. And yeah, we could also say that the acting is actually somewhat better than what is obtainable these days. But the stories, they are not like, they are like the what we thought or what we believe is like the best we could actually do as creatives. I feel like, or that's what I believe, because I, for example, I like to watch lots of early Nollywood from the 20s to the 50s, and I do more of that than watching recent Hollywood films. And I realized that it's not as if we were even that good in the early 90s late 90s. So I feel our number one problem is that we need to understand that we really haven't gotten hold of what good storytelling is as an industry. And I feel like everything needs to come from that humility to, for, I mean, we could have one or two people here and there doing good stuff here and there, but the general feeling, as far as I'm concerned, is that we are not humble enough to even recognize that as an industry, we are not really as good as we think we are, especially with our storytelling. I mean, a lot of other things are really, really good. And the second thing is to understand that storytelling or screenwriting in our case is very, very expensive. Expensive in terms of the time you need to be on your own to put down a very, very good story. People go years in Hollywood writing stories. We can't afford to do that in this part of the world. And we are not magicians. And these things eventually come out in what we put out there. I mean, people need to put food on their table. So I would not even go as far as saying that something is trash or wanting is not trash. People need to put food on their table. And if this is the industry that they find themselves in, it's a reflection of what how we've become as a country. But my general point again is that we need to be humble enough to understand that we've never been really good as an industry in terms of storytelling. And to also understand that Rome wasn't built in a day. We talk about Hollywood, but even in those years too, it wasn't as if they were good immediately. It took time. We're talking about an industry that is over 100 years, and I don't think we are up to 30, 40 years. So I think we need to also understand that fact that we are not there yet. We are far away from there, but one thing that we can do, especially for a lot of us that I know here that are like individual filmmakers, or one thing we can do is what I think we learned in Elka, which was that we do one for them and then we do one for ourselves. That way, when the older generation, when posterity are looking at works that they need to be inspired by, they may hopefully look at one of our works and go like, oh, this person, in the midst of a lot of stuff that were going on, was still able to manage to put out one or two of something that's going to inspire me in the future. So that's just my point. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tunde. Thank you. That was apt. Dami, you can go on.
After all right, Dami, good evening, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. After Dami, Funsha, you can go on. No, Mr. Sheffy. Then Funsha.
All right. Good evening, everybody, once again. So I'm going to be I will try to be as brief as I can be. So when I saw that thing that you sent to me with regards to today's topic here, I so much like it. Because you and I, personally, we've had discussions. Anytime you and I call, we spent over hours talking about these things. And I love what Ellen has said, because I was just there just laughing and all like that. And I think probably if she can get to say this in more open space, whereby the the people who need to listen to that will really, really, they will get the message and hopefully they will do something about it. So she has said most of the things I would really, really love to say. But along the line with what people has been saying in terms of like distribution and all these things, so that's the point where I would come in from. But then, as the topic say, unpopular opinions, I'm going to mention some films. And please, if you know somebody or if you are part of the crew, please don't be angry. I mean, life is more like perspective. When you are seeing nine, I can be seeing six. Nobody's wrong. Nobody's right. It's just what I'm seeing. And now this thing appeals to me. I will start with Chief Daddy 2, for example. One of the things that made me angry all my life since when I had subscribed to Netflix, honestly, I would just wait, get to a place where there will be Wi-Fi or sometimes then download and watch later. Chief Daddy 2 was like, you know, they released on a new year, if you don't forget, like the very first time that I would actually stream, like watch immediately. And I was so disappointed, you know, so disappointed. Another one, Kwame's Money. This, are you still here? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't know if you have seen Kwame's Money or if you've seen it. I don't know. In my opinion, that's like the most wackiest film ever. Like, I'm not joking. I couldn't finish it. Like, I would not finish it. Another one is 0 Hour. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on. And there are popular films that people love, like King of Boys, this series, for example. I'm sorry, I didn't like it. Like, I was expecting... Imagine when you say King of Boys, compare King of Boys to The Godfather. Well, let me please, I'm in a meeting. Do you understand? Like, this is what you're expecting. Do you understand what I'm saying? Imagine when you say King of Boys, you have expectation from the theme. From the what's it called? From the posters. The posters was more evil. They even gave us more like theme, more like black and red. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like this is violence. I mean, like you want this action trio. Like I had to sit all through the. Is this 6 episodes or 8x? I had to sit all through that thing. And the main character who's meant to be this fierce character, she was just talking about it. Me. It's a film. I mean, to even make it worse, it's a series. So there is more than enough time for you to show me this thing. Don't fucking tell me. I'm sorry. don't tell me. Just show me. That's why it's a film. I'm not watching. I'm not listening to poem whereby you can be doing all these panegyrics and be hyping yourself. We are watching it. I want to see it. I want to feel it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he didn't do that for me. I mean, I had to wait until like episode 6 before I actually get like the thrill of it. And I'm a cinematographer and I get inspired by cinematography. And there are some great films that I've seen. Let me even call them great. So if I'm watching from cinematography aspect, I would say they are great. So there are some nice films that I've seen. Cinematography-wise, they're good. Story-wise, they're whack. And I think we should give it to ourselves in this industry when it comes to picture-wise. We're getting there. I mean, the game has really, really, really changed. People are challenged themselves when it comes to picture. Like we're seeing beautiful picture. It's just, as people have said, on the story side that we really, really need to work on. There was this film as well, Devil in Abada. I don't know what they were thinking. And when you see things like this, you'll be like, God, where are these people seeing money? Because we know film is not cheap. Film is not cheap. So where are these people seeing this money that you then decide to just blow like this? Because here is the thing. I understand Nigeria, the way we market, because when Ellen was talking the other time, actors, chemistry, I was fortunate to be in a meeting one day. We all know this person is not, I mean, the person we're looking at, because sometimes I get to record people's audition. I was recording one lady one day. From the way I was looking at her, she knew. And afterwards, she was like, I wasn't giving her a good vibe. I was like, just shut the fuck up, man. You were not giving me a good vibe behind the camera. I just feel like as if I had wasted my whole day to come and do this audition. I mean, like, even me, a camera person, I would depict this character much more than what this person is doing. And this thing can be stressful. I was shooting a film to reshoot recently. I'm not going to mention the actor's name, but one of our very popular actress. We had mentioned the person's name today. I think it was Rex that actually mentioned the person's name. And we had 4 days to do this thing. We're shooting on a green screen, yeah. We had this long scene. It was a 13-page. And then we had different shots that we need to take. Do you know we were in that place for 24 hours? This lady did not finish her scene. Like, it was so bad after I got home for like 4 days. Because at the end of the day, this person is popular. Me, upcoming cinematographer, I have the studio to report to. You know, you're trying to, there is this thing, you're trying to prove yourself for other days' sake. But this one, whether she does well or she doesn't, she's going to get, I mean, her next project are lining up already. You know? And so things like that happen when you see that people really, really, she's not depicting this character. She's not even looking the character. But because of this so-called, this age that we are now, everything is social media. I've heard studio executives talk about social media followers, this person has followers, this person. I mean, we also recently, this just concluded the election. One of our Nollywood person was contesting, and then she went on TV saying she has 20 million followers. I mean, we saw the outcome at the election recently. So, and until people, executive, then get to like understand like, okay, it's not about just all these social media followers. At the heart has to be top notch. Like, I am someone like, when I want to do film, my own personal films, I put my heart to it. Irrespective of what I have, if it is minimum, I limit my, what's it called, my creativity based on what I have. And to talk about, I've talked about selecting actors. For example, let's look at Film One now. Film One started something late last year. They started doing publication in order to enhance this industry, whereby the DPs of the year, how many films they shot, what their movie grossed at the cinema and all like that. In as much as that thing is good, in as much as it's good, but really, really, if we're meant to be scoring this film based on technicality, how many of them will actually stand the test of technicality, for example? Let's take Alakada, for example. Alakada is one of the most wackiest films. Like, I don't know how people get to sit through that thing. And then you hear that thing was making 200 million, 100 million at the cinemas. Like, what? Come on. But then, it is what it is. It's more like as if this set of people, this set of producers, they already understand what this Nigerian space. But here's the thing, like Rex was saying, like Brotherhood, people will love it. People will get to say something about it because why? They haven't seen anything like that. There used to be someone who is into action film, Mr. Eric Agime. He made Slow Country. I think it was in 2015 or 16, Afri. And the whole hype was everywhere. But one thing with Mr. Eric, he's an indie person, doesn't have a studio. So till now, I'm sure maybe most of us don't even know who Mr. Eric is. But when you talk of action, that would have been the person that they would say, Eric knows what he's doing when it comes to action. But now it has fallen down to like, okay, it's Jade who is really, really taking that that angle now. But then we're as people have said as well, we are growing, we're getting there. But let's see the things for what they are. There's just some people. I don't really, really think filmmaking is like their call. They should really, 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 because if you have to like bring, film is expensive, and I don't see any reason why you would want to do something. And majority of people don't make films with their money. Mr. Kunle Afolayo, he doesn't make film with his money. He said it like he would not make film with his money again. And then it's working for them. They have people. That's why you see majority of the content that is coming out now. If you see that they are good, majority of them, they are originals being sponsored by Netflix, being sponsored by Amazon, because it has become more like a competition among them, among those two. They're pumping money. I know a studio that has license that would be doing 12 Amazon projects in the next 3 years. Everything they'll be doing will be Amazon, Amazon, Amazon. But one thing is that they're pitching stories to Amazon, and Amazon is ready to give them money. I was fortunate to work on one last year. It's going to come out soon by the grace of God. But then, in all these things, we as filmmakers, because I believe most of us on this platform right now, we're all filmmakers, or we're aspiring to be. Let's just keep just keep it real with yourself. Just keep it real. Whenever we have the opportunity to do something, let's just do it. Do it right, regardless of regardless of your resources. Because sometimes, I'm of opinion, see what I do right now with minimum resources. Then from there, when I see what you are using minimum resources, if it's a smartphone that you have, you shoot a film with a smartphone, I can tell what you're going to do with a camera. Because good story doesn't need expensive camera to shoot. Good stories just need experience and well-oriented person to make. So that would actually be more, saying that thing I had written down here, that would actually be more of my own contribution towards this thing. But I really, really think we need to do more. Election, but I did not like that film one bit. It was an adaptation, but I can't see the adaptation part of it. It's more like as if I'm reading literature and I'm just watching something that is being done on like a stage as well. That's the feeling I was getting all through the entire thing. I didn't like it as well. What's it called? But a couple of other films that I love, like Swallow. Do we all know Swallow? Kunle Afolayan Swallow.
Yes. I've seen Swallow.
Did you see the cinematography of Swallow? That thing was shot last year or 2 years ago in Broad Street. And they made it. It was so intentionally done that you would feel like they shot that thing in the 90s or in the 80s. Everything. And they were using wide angle. They were shooting extremely wide. And everything in their frames, everything was telling you are looking at a period piece. That is awesome. That alone is mad. I won't lie to you. If you haven't watched it, if you haven't paid attention to that, please, you can re-watch it and just pay attention to that alone. Like you're shooting one, because if you want to shoot period piece in Lagos, for example, you might have to like do very tight, tight CUs just so that you can hide so many things and then just putting the thing that would depict period pieces in your face. But no, they were going for wide angles, exterior shot too. And the cars, everything. I was seeing, I was like, Jesus, this is right.
He has power, he has the money. He's cool as lying. The money.
I know.
But again, I think
trust me.
I agree, but the storyline, for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't like the storyline, but the technical. Shabiyu, I agree.
Shabiyu, you hear what I'm saying? Like, the cinematography, for me, it was top notch. When you say Kunle Afolayan, he has money. Yeah, but here is the thing: he has put in works. Just then, because the last five projects that Kunle has been doing, if you notice, they have been Netflix sponsored. Netflix, if you all notice, I can mention them. Niger Christmas was Netflix. Anikulaku was Netflix. Was the Citation was Netflix. Swallow was Netflix. Which other one has he done recently? Even and now they're even adapting Anikulaku into what's it called. So he had put in works, and that's what I'm saying in terms of like even we too now, because should these people come calling now, what are you going to show them to be like, okay, I can undo your money? And which will draw me back to where I will be wrapping up. If we said the things that people, Nollywood producers, before the era of all this Amazon, Netflix, is comedy. How many of us here? How many are we on this space right now? I want to ask a question. We are... Benga, please, how many are we?
Okay, we are 14 at the moment.
All right. In the last 3 weeks, how many of us has been to the cinemas?
I have been to the cinema.
Sir? The traffic in my area. There's this traffic in my area.
I have been to in the culture of
they are doing our road. They are doing that our road.
Ah. Mr. Smart.
So,
Mr. Smart.
So here's this is the reality of it, yeah. I myself, what was the last film I went to see at the cinema? It was Brotherhood. I wanted to go and see what's it called? Battle of Booker Street. But another thing is that I was really, really scared. But the reason I wanted to go and see it was like, okay, now he's making really, really waves. Do you know what I'm saying? Like there's people are watching it. But and I don't want to go and watch, this is 3,500 though in this economy. I mean, for me to now go and sit down and then not be happy. I would not like it. So that's me myself that I'm talking, it's been a while I've visited the cinemas. So, but people who regularly go to the cinemas, that's why you see when producers make their film, when do you think they want to release? They don't want to release it on any other time. They are targeting Easter. Now I can bet you somebody like AY, people, all these celebrities, they make films and then keep it targeting Easter time. Because they know that is the time people will come out in turn. So they don't want to come and see where you are really, maybe where you are shooting horror film that has good story. I was working with one lawyer at that time. He's into like all these cinema laws and everything. And it was like, do you want to come and spend your money and not be happy? So we have a whole long way to go in this industry when it comes to that. King of Thieves, that's Mr. Femi Adebayo, King of Thieves. I like the, what's it called, the traditional aspect of it. But compare the cinematography of Aniku Lapo to King of Thieves. I don't know if anybody gets what I'm trying to say.
It is Jonathan Colville.
my brother, Jonathan Colville, right?
Yeah.
Now, canon they use.
What do you expect from Jonathan Colville?
Wait,
I think Swallow was shot. Okay, it was still. It's canon.
C500. Canon C500 Mark II.
No, yeah, you understand? Canon since Mokalik. It is canon for Mokalik too.
So yeah, the story of that canon came back from when Canon came to Nigeria. Do you understand what I'm saying? That canon was more like a gift to Kunle. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
partner with Canon. Yeah. So a whole lot of story on another day. So do you understand what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, we need, because me and Benga, remember we have this conversation, and I like the fact that somebody is saying it's Jonathan Covell. My brother, Jonathan Covell. Now one head ghetto. I'm going somewhere, sir. Let us go back to the basics. I love that man so much. The very first time I met him, we had awesome conversation. And when I meet people like that, I want to look into your head. I want to know if I meet a DP on set, the very first thing I'm going to go and look is your settings. What makes your film look so good? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, what makes your film? And here's the thing, this man understands his technicalities so much. Do you understand what I'm saying? And what is he doing that other people are not doing? And I don't understand. If you said this is who you are a cinematographer, learn the rudiments. I was telling Benga the other day, how many DPs will say, okay, well, I will shoot on film. Film, oh, not digital now, oh, film that I can shoot on film. How many DPs will boldly say, I can shoot on film? That will not waste, because film should be here, hard drive, we can format, you can delete. Film, there's nothing like that. You can't do still rolling. So if you don't know what you are doing, you'll be messed up. So how many people will take time to actually learn what it is? Now everybody is a DP. Everybody, until now, me and Benga, when I first met Benga, I tell people, I'm an aspiring cinematographer. Let me know what they talk. But then I understand in this Nigeria, once you tell people you're an aspiring, they just look at you as one boy that doesn't know anything. But it's not about that. It's about the fact that you still open your mind to say you still want to learn. So if we all have that mindset of saying we are still learning, we are not there yet, trust me, a whole lot of things will be improved. Because it is until then you will know that what you are doing, you still have a whole lot of ground to cover. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. You still have a whole lot of ground, and you will keep on pursuing that thing. I called my editor earlier this year. I was like, bro, I don't like the color of our job. We need to do something better. And I took it upon myself. I started taking pictures, just faces. I started with black and white. Okay, let's just start doing this natural light. Now I've graduated into colors. You know, just take, see children, just see faces, just take somebody's face. That's what because I want to still master this craft until, because I would not stay and say, I don't like this person's job. Even me, myself, my own job, I only like my job for like 2 days. And I want to go away from that kind of thing whereby I would see what I did yesterday and be like, I didn't like it again. I want to like what I do. Do you understand what I'm saying? It will be like a reference of where I'm coming from. I like that. It's a reference. Like, this is where I'm coming from. This is where I'm going. But I still want to push myself, which I feel even producers should do that. Yeah, you borrow money to make film, which is another reason why we have so many things that the way it is. Cinemas don't give you good deals. Thank God for people like Amazon. And I think Amazon, Netflix, trust me, I think they came more because of people like us. And we should all key into that. Because the people who are established already, see, the truth is that they are trying to monopolize this shit. One person, one production company is having 12 slots. We'll be shooting 12 films for Amazon. What are we doing? When one person has taken 12, for the next 3 years, they'll be doing 12 Amazon distance. So me and you, waiting, we'll go shop.
We're deep.
Mm-hmm. So let's think about another thing. So all these people that have made this nonsense, this crap, trust me, they are lying. They are in line waiting. When they ask them, they will say, we've done something. Yeah. And it's only in our industry when they package nonsense. And then you even see people, the people that they made it for, they would come out in tons to come and watch these things. They will make their money. You will be here. Ah, it's not nice. It's not nice. It's not nice. Me and one of my cousins almost fought because of Tony Aymar recently. Like, but I have to just succumb and be like, there's no way I'm not winning this thing. Don't worry. Yeah, Tony Aymar fan. Anything she does is gold. So just go with it.
We have supporters club now. You don't need to get supporters club. Anything you do, good. I wish Sam can talk. I think me and Sam has said something about
So regardless of what they do, whether it's nice or not, people are not even looking. They're not looking into that. And another thing, if you want to catch Nigerians' audience right now, just do something. Do something that not with everybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not with everybody. Just find your own voice. Just find your own voice, and then I think so. That's just my own unpopular opinions. Those are it. Like, we'll get there. Ayin La was a beautiful film. Far From Home, that series. You know, when you watch something, you're just so happy.
Do you know the story behind Far From Home?
I was so happy. Like,
do you know the story behind it?
No, please tell me. Share with me, please.
Well, do you know it was shot twice?
Twice.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
And then Netflix rejected it. No, you're not shooting this for us. How can this be?
And I would agree with that. Because there was that pool scene. I was there when they were shooting that very first one. They came to shoot in my former studio. That pool scene particularly. It was shot at Trino at first. I was there that night. So when I was watching the film, I was waiting for that part. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, but I didn't see that it wasn't that place that they used. I even met them at Obalende one day. It was a Sunday. I met them at Obalende when they were shooting. I didn't see that Obalende scene too inside. So I would agree when you said they shot it twice. Was it you that mentioned Captain Degsy that time?
Yeah, I was one.
Let's take that guy for example. I know him very well. Look at Captain Degsy. He started as the camera person, then enter into Steadicam operator. Now, Captain Dexard became a brand. He's shooting and directing film now. He's even more, people now know him more of a director than a cinematographer that he started with. And what did he do? He just had to make Griot. And he made it so beautiful. And the guy that worked as the art director, his name is Kola. We're starting a job together on Sunday at Kola Brains. And Kola was like, they didn't have anything to shoot that film. Everybody had to tax themselves, bring what you have. And when, after years that he had made that thing, he made it into Netflix. And it was very odd. Look at when Latif did that thing. Look at him to now.
I mean, if I said the full story behind Griot,
you know,
I mean, so since 2019.
So you see, so he had done something. Now is one of his film again is will be filming at screening at Nollywood. Is in Nollywood Paris. Very, I saw the trailer alone. I was blown away. Do you understand? So these are people who had gone through the rudiment. Now he had gone through every aspect. He knows editing, he knows directing, he knows cinematography at the back of his hand. He had become a brand in the space of how many years? And there are people that we know in this industry that they've been shouting, they are boss, they are a guy. Where are they now? So things are changing. And I feel like this joint that you guys have started, God bless you guys. And I feel like I pray that more majority of us would not be proud in our hearts to actually go and learn the rudiments so that we can change the narrative. God bless each and every one of you. God bless you. I really appreciate this moment. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Dami, that was very much elaborate and deep. Mr. Shafi, please, you have the mic now.
Yeah, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yeah, first of all, let me pay. Sorry for not accepting your request at first. I was.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I tried to see what the group was about. First of all, let me pay homage to my party, Smart, Buddy Smart. Is it there?
Hello? I'm here.
Shut up. Let's
go.
So. Yeah, a popular opinion. So if I say my popular opinion, I probably won't get a job again in this industry. So let me say my popular opinion. So I made down some notes. I broke it down to structure, production, and how to make your money back. So first of all, I like what Smart said about not having structure in the industry. So first of all, let me say this. If it's not broken, don't fix it. So all these Yoruba movies, Asaba movies, the Arewa movies, they have their markets. They have their own structure. They operate the way they operate. So if you tell a director, a producer in the Yoruba, deep Yoruba industry, tell him, come and make cinema, I will tell you, Kimofelo Shembe, what I'm going to do for there? I did make my movie 1.5. I did make my 2 million, 3 million. I did all right. You know, so... they have their own market and they have their own audience, which is very important in filmmaking. You have your audience, no matter the genre or the niche, whatever you're doing, have your audience. And they have their audience. If you put Asaba and Yoruba audience together, it's probably times 10 of people that go to cinema in Nigeria. So you really can't fault them for the way they operate. Again, so that is that. Then come to structure. Somebody said something about labor, you know, not expecting us. Even ourselves. We have unions. We have, if I'm not mistaken, I think we have two different directors' guild. If I'm not mistaken, am I wrong? Did I get that wrong?
I know of directors' guild of Nigeria. I don't know if they have another.
So there are two of them. Even actors' guild itself, I think. There are two of them. I think Shemarize is running one.
Actors Guild of Nigeria and Association of Movie Producers.
No, I mean Actors Guild itself is split into two. There are two fractions.
Oh.
I think Shemarize is heading one and one other guy is heading the other. So there's always this inter...
You are very correct, yes. Actors Guild have two fractions.
So if our unions are having fractions, so how do we want labor union to recognize us to come and, do you understand? So, yes, so we don't have the structure. So it's we always mimic, always say, oh, let's look at Hollywood. Hollywood, let us forget, Hollywood has been in existence since what, in the 18th century. Now, I think Nigeria, I think we're in the Fourth Republic, Abi. So I say Nollywood is in the Fourth Republic, if I'm not. So the first one was them Ogunde, which I think that was the best era in terms of pictures and story. After that was them Living in Bondage. Then after that was them, then that's when cinema started coming back. What movie were there then? Then before this new generation of Netflix. And so I would say we are in the Fourth Republic. So we are moving the way Nigeria is moving. So if you know what I mean. So we get there. Little by little, we have been small structure around there. I think with the emergence of streaming, it has really changed the game a lot. And it's making producers and writers do the story they've always wanted to tell, that they are afraid to tell, which brings me to production and how to make your money back. So how much is it so I'm a producer, director, cinematography, by the way. So how much does it cost to do a proper movie? Let's say in range of maybe Living in Bondage. You can't do that film for less than 100 mil. 100 mil is even a tight shoe budget for that kind of movie. Now, how do you make your money back? If I want to meet an investor, please come and give me 100 million to shoot film. This is my story. The first question is, how do you make my money back and how much do you make back? We don't have enough screens in Nigeria to break even. The only time, and that's what I think was it what's his name? Ola something said. Ola
Tunde.
Yeah, Tunde said. The only time you can, and if you notice, Fuke Akindele only released a movie in December. Now, right now, so she has a slot for 3 years in December. So whether she does a movie or not, she has a slot. You can only make your money in first April and especially December, because there are a lot of people that are coming back to Nigeria. There are a lot of people coming home for holiday and they want to go out. And when they go to the cinema, they just have to see a movie. You get it? So whether your movie is shit, whether it's the best, you still make your money if you release your movie during December. It's just numbers. That's what the number says. Do you understand? So how do you? So if I can't guarantee my investors that I will make his money back, then how do I get that money to make that my dream movie? Luckily for us, Netflix and Amazon and Showmax are here. So in a way, it has lessened the pressure on producers to start telling their story. And right now, my biggest movie fan, my biggest, mentor or somebody I look up to in the industry right now is Jade. And this is why. She's taking the risk. And the risk is paying off for her. Back to back, she's the only producer that has done, and maybe Ankunle, that has done back-to-back movies that is not slapstick comedy. So she has done Ghetto Gangster, back-to-back. And she's taking the risk. Brotherhood was a success, but not as much as she thought. Brotherhood only made about 200M in the cinema compared to what she spent. Gang of Lagos, yeah, she sold it to Amazon. Lucky for her. But like I said, she's taking the risk. She's telling the story. The first person to do that was Kemi. So Kemi opened the doorway for people to do that kind of story. Right now, there's a new niche coming on because by God's grace, I've been commissioned by one of those streaming platform. And one of the things they always say is, can your movie make money like King of Thieves? Now, there are a lot of Yoruba movie coming out because of King of Thieves. So King of Thieves have opened the doorway to say, oh, you don't need to do English films. You don't need to do comedy. You can do language films and you can do well. So a lot of movies now, a lot of people now are now doing Yoruba film. The same film Adebayo has done another one. It's coming out. It was shot by Dexy. Ibrahim Shatta is doing Oron Poto. That is the first king of female king of Oyo. Yeah, so people are now getting bolder because there's a platform to showcase it. Because cinema won't make your money back for you. So luckily, Netflix, Showmax, Amazon, they are there. Paramount is coming to take it off from your hands, which is a good thing. So like I said, it's not making producers bold enough to tell their stories. Now, still under production, how many people... So when we say Sikova, for instance, one of my qualms with him, not with him, but with the situation is a white guy, whether we like it or not. So anything he says, he gets. If he says he wants an helicopter to shoot, he gets. I'm a black DP, a Nigerian DP. If I tell my producer, I need a ship, he will tell me what he wants and do, and we don't get money for him. So I came into the industry in 2010. I did some movies. I did some commissioner movies. Mr. Smart was one of my actors in one of my movies in 2015 or 14. I left the space because I didn't like the way the space was, the way people were operating. So I left. I went to commercials and documentaries and international documentaries and everything. And I did a commercial for someone. At first, I did an AC for a white, I did a second cam unit for a white DP. The next time the producer wanted to do a commercial, he called and I was like, Shefi, and she went, white guy was there, you were doing handling the camera, okay, let's use you instead. And what I did was, I just photocopied that guy's equipment and just gave them the list. The producer asked it and said, I don't need most of the things that is there. No, voila, we did the commercial. One day, I went to the studio to check what was being edited, and he was like, hey, Chef, come and see. And now, you Nigerian DPs, you'll be complaining that we don't give it. See now, see the quality between you and the white guy. And I tapped him and I said, come, when I asked for my list, you have my list. What do you think those things were for? Well, they were not to decorate the set. They were to get the shot you wanted. But this white guy asked for it. You gave him. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. We are feeling you. Yeah. Right? This is story. Yeah. I'm loving it.
So, like I said, so this white guy asked for this specific things. You gave him, but you come, in my turn, you're asking me what do I need it for, and you want me to get the same quality. I'm not a magician. I'm not. I'm sorry to say. No matter how talented I claim to be, there are some things I need. I can't get an aerial shot if I don't have a drone or a helicopter. Oh, no possible. I don't know if you turn winch. Take that shot for you. Do you understand? So when we hail Kova is a very good DP. Well, all right. There's this other guy that comes down to Nigeria, Cabello. Down to the black South African. He was on a shot this movie, Freedom Way for Uzi Blessing. And he shot this Disney movie too. So him too is getting a lot of jobs in Nigeria. But the thing is, if they ask for something, they get it. But while we are based here, that is my paddy, my blood. We've been together since Dazimra, since Tune Kilani. We both turning under him. It's still the same complaint. Anything he asks for, they won't give him 100%. They'll probably half it. So how do you want him to get the same quality with these international people? It's not possible. I was in the commercial realm. I know the amount of money people pump into production when it comes to foreign crew. But when it comes to Nigerian crew, I know the amount of money. The money is less by 80% of what they use for the foreign crew. And you expect us to get the same thing. It's not possible. No matter how genius you are, it is not possible. Do you understand? So that, I blame the producer. So somebody said something about Far From Home. We know the story of Far From Home. It was shot twice, and we know the reason why. And I can tell you, Far From Home has done a lot of damage to our industry that we know. Now, Anipolapo, people get it wrong. It is not a Netflix production. It was not commissioned by Netflix. It was a co-production between Netflix and Kunle. And this was why. Netflix got tired of pumping money to the industry and not getting results. When they first came, the mistake they made, and I don't blame them, when you're going to a new environment, what do you first do? You go online. Oh, who are the biggest people in this industry, in this environment you're going to? It should bring out a list. So it brought out a list, and it was those people they contacted first, them OG producers, you know, we know their names. We just can't call their names because They don't blackmail us before. They feel do them again. Now, they gave these people so much money, but the quality they were getting was not the same value. Far From Home, the first 1 month of shoot was cancelled. Because they now have to bring, Netflix now have to bring a South African director and a South African producer to salvage the production because of the money they've popped into it. So that's why if you check the credit, the first two episodes was directed by a South African. The next two episodes was directed by Giang. Then the last two were directed by Kasumu. So Netflix now said, you know what? We are no more doing Netflix original anymore. It's only people they've signed a contract with, which was them Kuli and Mo, they're still doing originals for them. So what they now do is, because I'm starting a Netflix production, co-production in quotes next week, is, oh, you have a project, let's see your pitch. Oh, his pitch, okay, you know what? Show us your hand, show us that you're serious. Go and do it, or bring half of the money, we bring half of the money. That's what Netflix is doing right now. So it has really affected our industry in the sense that they've really those producers, then Far From Home and Co, they really, really damaged the industry. But we think, oh, Far From Home was whatever, is a good, no, it was a bad thing that happened to the industry, but people just don't know the story behind it. Now, I lost my train of thought because I'm really pissed off right now. Anytime I say that story, I'm always really...
So while you're trying to get your train of thoughts, let me just say that I love this on a very personal note because... Sorry? I said I love this on a very personal note in terms of what Netflix is doing, like pertaining the story is an outcome. Because if there is no sanction or if there is no, how am I going to put it now? Kind of discipline or punishment, you understand? For something, it will still remain like that, and they would be taking the blue. And don't forget that Amazon is there, Paramount is coming, I think Disney is also coming too. And these people are coming. For now, Netflix holds Nollywood kind of like in terms of reach, publicity, and subscribers, and all that. And if they don't get it right, it's going to tell badly on them. So if Amazon now, who right now is our strongest competitor, gets it right better than them, people will move. In fact, to be very honest with you, let me not lie to you, I'm thinking of getting a subscription for Amazon because some of the movies are like...
I've done it, correct? Yeah.
So let me tell you why. That is so. By God's grace, I'm a sales agent for Amazon. But let me say this: if your movie gets on Amazon, Netflix, it doesn't mean you've made it. It doesn't mean you did a perfect, you did a good movie. There are different categories of acquiring your movies. There's what they call library. There's what they call original. There's what they call content fill. So if you check this same Netflix, you will see that some low grade Nigerian. Sorry to call them low grade, but when it comes to production, low grade Nigerian movies, same thing on Amazon. Those are called library. Those are called filler. Those are just to fill in the space to say, oh, I want to watch something in Hollywood. Oh, I've seen 10. Let me see. There are other 100 options for me to see. That's what those are for. Netflix or Amazon can only afford to buy or produce maximum of 10 to 12 original films in a year for any region. You get so. If your movie get on, so that on Netflix, your movie can be bought as high as $150,000. It can be bought as low as $10,000. So when you see people go up Netflix, doesn't mean boy, if you don't go Netflix, it's pop. No, it does. It's just fillers. They call them fillers. It's just okay. That's why if you go to there's different category. There's K drama category. There's Spanish category. So it's same also for Nollywood category. Now, the only problem I have with Amazon, and God forgive me, I'm about to say this because I'm in bed with them, is they poached all the top heads were poached from African Magic. All them Wangi, Steven, all of them, they were poached from African Magic. So at first, they were using the modem of African Magic. That's why if you check the first range of movie on Amazon, they were like the Iroko African Magic level. it was last year that Amazon said, if they go like this, we go even fuck up before we enter the industry. They now have to re-strategize. And that's where people like me came in. Now, Amazon is now ready to pump in money. Now, that guy that said a company was signed for 12 years, I know the company and some other, so it's not just one company, there are a lot of people that were signed. There's a new player coming in, and, but nobody's paying attention, which is Showmax. I think, is it Warner Bros. Or Disney that bought 30% of Showmax? That was early last month. Now, Showmax is now pumping money into content in Africa. Woorah, that series has been shot in Ife. That series budget is in millions of dollars. Nobody knows. But it is good content. They are shooting with three reds. That's the first time in Nigeria that a 360 movie series will be shot with red, not to talk of three. Do you understand? So, Showmax is coming in. Right now, Showmax has a platform for upcoming filmmakers. You can pitch your story. If they like it, they will drop money for your production. And the condition is you must not have done any feature film before. At max, the movie you've done before will not be more than 40 minutes. What does that mean? They're trying to build new upcoming filmmakers. So I've by right gathered about like five of them, designed a pitch for them and submitted it for them. Hopefully, at least two of them will get it. So it means Showmax is trying to say, you know what, we are tired of these old folks. Let's go low. Let's get these upcoming hungry guys from the streets. Do you understand? So nobody's noting Showmax for now, but I give Showmax 5 years. They will chase Netflix and Amazon for their money. You get, so like I said, good thing that all these streaming people are coming in. It's fantastic, zapping the industry, and also it's, you know, so now before I forget, production. We see a lot of shady movies out there. How many people know that Job JD is part of structure? We don't take our job professionally. If I'm a DP, am I taking my job as professionally as in the way they do in America? Or I'm just doing it for the sake of, let me just put food on my table. Let me just, you know, today I'm a DP, tomorrow I'm an AC, next tomorrow I'm a continuity guy, next tomorrow I'm a makeup artist. You know, that's what we have in our industry. It's only in Nigeria, you will see that on a slate board, you have names of two DPs. Is not possible anywhere in the world. You can't have a Roger Dixon.
Too DP.
it's true, but they do it a lot. You know, this year I've been fortunate to direct some TV movies and my eyes all head. But because of my party, they do them. I know fit say no. I said that being my whatever. That I said people don't know that Job JD. I directed a movie. There was an issue between a crew member and the producer. And this is what the producer said. The producer said, it's not my problem. It's between you and the EP. Go and meet the EP. I said, producer, come. It is not your problem.
Sorry, can you repeat that again?
She said, it is not a problem that when the EP comes, the crew member should go and sort out this problem.
A producer.
Wait, now, I said, people don't know that JD. So I called, I said, come. I don't understand. It's not your problem. Is it because the EP is your friend? So imagine if it was an outsider that gave you this job. So you'll be telling the person that, no, they should come and meet me because you're not, like, you are the producer. The fault, if production is good, is on your head. If it's bad, is on your head. It starts and ends with you. That's when she now stood up to go and solve the problem. It just simply means she doesn't know her JD. So how did she get that job in the first place? That's what you ask. I'm about to say something. I'm about to say something, but I'm not going to mention the person's name. But if I mention the gender, I'm sure people can start guessing. There's a female DP in this country that she just finished shooting a job. She was shooting, they were using Arri Mini LF, and they were shooting at Amorphic Lens. Arri Mini LF per day, the pack is about 350K. And at Amorphic Lens, the cheapest you can see is 120K per day. Put that together, that's about 4-something K per day. This babe does not know the settings of an anamorphic, and they've already shot for a week. The image was squeezed. Meanwhile, I meant to squeeze it on the camera sensor with the setting. I was called while I was on that job and say, "Oh, Chefy, bros, I beg now, help us now. What do we do? What do we do?" And I said, "No, put the DP on the phone." And I spoke to her. I asked her some questions. This is a DP that was handling an RVLF. She doesn't know what. resolution means. I swear to Almighty God. I asked her, what resolution are you shooting? She said, what is that? I was like, yeah, Mugbe. She now said, should she look at the whatever on the camera and be calling out what is there? I said, no, don't worry. No problem. Good. Are you shooting 4K or 2K? She said, she 4K. She 4K. Because I said, okay, I'm shooting 4K. So she knows it in terms of she can set on the camera, but she doesn't know what it's called. She doesn't know the terminology. So what that simply means is, first of all, how did she get that job? How did she get there? It is man, no man. And that's what this industry is all about. It is who I know, not what the person can do. Do you understand? So that's why I said, ooh, a lot of people don't know that JD. I can call myself, like Tunde said, everybody just call themselves DP these days because I don't carry camera. I don't press record. I don't turn DP. Do you understand? So same thing to other department, director, producer, whatever, light guy, you know. There's one thing that I see in the industry right now and enter my seat, my brain goes as in with overheat. It is red light. You watch a movie and somebody's sitting in the parlor and there's a red light coming and eating his face. What is the source of light?
No motivation for lighting.
So I was in the studio with Steve Shodia when they were editing Giacomo. And I saw it and I tapped the color and say, Oga, what did they happen? The color said, see, Sheffy, don't disturb me. This thing, I don't follow, the director don't follow me fight. I took the red light out. The director called me and said he wanted it back there. So what does that mean? It means whoever is and doesn't know that JD, they don't know what is, you know what? So, and that's why we get the kind of call. Even with the little money we have, we are still meant to be trying.
Chef, you know? If you're talking about red light, what about his machine, smoke?
So that smoke machine is a give or take. I really don't fault them. This is why. We don't have his machine. We don't have atmospheric machine in court in Nigeria. All the ones we have is fake. That's why I've stopped trying to use it in my own films. Because normally we see Hollywood, they use it every time, but it's not smoke machine, it is his machine or atmospheric machine. There are two different things. Smoke moves. But when you spray an atmospheric machine in a room for the next 3 hours, it's there. It doesn't move.
Very right.
Because it's like an atmosphere. Yeah. But smoke will not be moving because it's smoke. So the air moves.
I think the thing is, most of us don't know the difference between these two. So when we see it, we just
think it's smoke machine. We don't know.
When you want to request for it, you request for smoke machine instead of an atmospheric machine.
Okay, yeah. So you might be right. But at the same time, like I said, some people know, and like I said, we don't really have in Nigeria. You get so anytime I ask my light guy, he says, Oga, man, no light to who see it over na fake. Do you understand? So we really, 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 really don't have in Nigeria. So, like I said, sometimes let's be fair to them. But it's good for texture when you smoke a room or you put an atmosphere in the room. It's good for this guy Roger didn't use it a single time he's filming. You get is normal, but the problem is we don't have the actual and I'm finding it weird because we have so much money, all these equipment guys, we have so much equipment that they don't have that one thing that, you know, so it's like I said, it's a give or take. Now we like to compare ourselves to South Africa. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know this until last year. I was shooting a movie for a South African guy. In the world, can you imagine, in the world, South Africa has the, how can I phrase this in English? As the, when it comes to service, film service, they have the highest film service in the world when it comes to film service, in terms of crew and whatever. That's why these days, a lot of Hollywood movies are going to South Africa to shoot. Woman King was shot in South Africa. This new documentary that is like his feature film that is so superb on Netflix called Queens of Africa was shot in South Africa. Resident Evil was shot in South Africa. You get a lot of people are going to South Africa to shoot, and of course they have the services, they have the manpower, they have the technicalities. You get, but us, we get back to the giant of Africa, but we really don't have shit.
Giant of nothing.
Do you understand? We really don't have shit. Even apart from filmmaking, anything in the world, we shout giant of Africa, we really don't have shit. Do you understand? Our best, I can tell you, when it comes to Nigerian DP, say it's Nigerian guy where they carry Nigerian passport, I will call two guys. and they're not even based in the country anymore, which is Yinka Edward and Femi Awojide. And they're both based in the UK right now, shooting films for white guys and everything. They only come once in a while to shoot a film. You guys, for you to get Yinka Edward, if your budget, Yinka Edward last year, he shot Black Book for this guy, Edith F. Young. The budget was about $1.5 million. That's the only way you can bring Yinka back to country to shoot for you. So people now go for cover. Cover is cheap. To bring cover to Nigeria is about $1,500. I'm sorry to say. I mean, producer, I've done it before. It's about $1,500 a week. So in South Africa, they have services, and the service is cheap. So even in a Nigerian DP, when it comes to commercial, it's more expensive than a South African DP. When it comes to commercial, that is the fact. As a Nigerian DP, if you say you want me for commercial, when I hear commercial, I go, nah, money at the year. I don't go bill you less than 1M. Even if it's one day. 1M, 7, I will say I try for you. But South African DP go collect 700K, 500K, when you convert it to Naira. Do you understand? And they go come, they go shoot, and they go. So we claim we deform luxury, but we don't really have the talent. We don't really have the whatever. So that's why. So there are a lot of factors. So it's not just all these shitty movies you are seeing, not just one factor. Is the whole lot of factors from the producer to the manpower to the job JD to the budget to the, you know, so it's a lot. And that I said, by God's grace, we are getting there little by little. Maybe in the next 5 years, maybe we will. So there are a lot of guys now that are now doing something extra. Like this guy now, this guy that did Mami Water, that won an award. What's his name? Do you understand? So people are now, so because of this Oscar thing, it has, in a way it's good and in a way it's bad. A lot of people are now targeting Oscar, but at the same time, and that's why I will still give it to Jadi anytime, and this is why. OC, what's his name again? Manu, what was his name again?
TJ Ferry.
TJ. He bought in the he bought in the Brazilian DP.
No, if you go into the details, the collaboration for that film is something else. So yes, like, but it's what the hype and everything.
But at the bottom end is he still bought in the DP from outside.
Of course.
Yes.
I was casted. Sorry. I was supposed to be in the movie, but even CJ's movie was not shot in Nigeria. I was supposed to be in the movie. I was casted.
It was shot in Kota.
Yes.
Most of the crew members were Nigerian. It was only the DP, and I think one of them that was white, that was non-Nigerian. Now this is where I'm going. Even Kole too used to bring cover from South Africa. It's only this last movie just shot Ijogbon. That he didn't use cover. He used No Dash, and because cover was not available. Now, this is why I give it to Jade. Jade shoots a movie fully with Nigerian crew. They take that risk. The only one she didn't do was Brotherhood, and the reason was because of that Ali guy, the guy from Uganda. His name? Ali. Yeah. But this Gang of Lagos was fully Nigerian crew. She directed it, was shot by one guy called Muyiwa. Everybody was Nigerian. So she's taking that risk and she's investing into local content and local whatever. While other people are getting the money, they are Seed Ebony. They're not getting writer from South Africa. That's why that story is becoming shit. You can't relate to the story because it doesn't look like a Nigerian story. This last Something About Sunday was written by a South African. Chief 32 was written by
Sunday South Africa.
It was written by a South African. Chief 32 was written by a South African guy. That's why it was so terrible. Because person doesn't know the lingo and what. No, sorry, so the person who know the lingo and the whatever of Nigeria now. So how do you expect him to do it? Because Nigerian audience are very unique. Nigerian audience will see Avengers and they will see Brother Shaggy and they will still go for Brother Shaggy. Do you understand? That's our. Why does AY always make money? AY's strategy is bringing this crowd from AY life to the cinema. That's his strategy and working for him. If you tell AY, go and do a movie like Avengers. AY go look, you say, you decrease, and they make me billions. You tell me, say, my God, you do Avengers movie. Wait till I want to make me. AY is a billionaire when it comes to film. He has made billions from films. Do you understand? Because he knows his audience. Like I said, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Everybody has their own audience. So you as a filmmaker, you will decide, do I want to be a
commercial filmmaker, or do you want to be artistic and be? How many people know Izojuku here? If I,
yeah,
how many people are in this group? How many people are in this group? If you are 20, if I say how many people, I'm sure it won't be up to 8 that will know Izu. But guess what? Is when it comes to budget, Izu does the biggest movies when it comes to his budget is bigger than Mkule.
Is what he,
very true.
He's one of those filmmakers that I actually look up to because he doesn't do the usual. Like, he doesn't drag anything with you. He takes his time to do his thing. So when he views you, you will know that, okay, it is worth it. And he does his film now. And before even the film will come out safe, he's not, you're not expecting the film to come out this year. It takes, no, that guy is working on a different level.
Izu is not a commercial director. He doesn't direct for money. He doesn't say, we'll go make on, no. So that's why a lot of people don't know Izu. But that's one of the biggest, in fact, he's not even one of, he's the biggest director when it comes to, if you add all his budget together, is times three of Kule's budget. But nobody really knows him. Because he's more of an artistic guy. One of the, when it comes to budget, one of the most expensive movies made in Nigeria was Milkmaid. How many people know Milkmaid? Milkmaid for year.
Yeah, Milkmaid. Yeah, I don't know. I know Milkmaid.
How many people know Milkmaid in this group we are in now? How many people? Milkmaid was done for Oscars, but he never got into Oscars. Do you understand? It was now later sold to Amazon. I think they lost a lot of money. They didn't break even, but yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing. It's as if Nigerian filmmaker, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a commercial filmmaker, make movie for money? If you want to do that, you'll be doing your slapstick comedy or your all them Moketo and Co. All them pump money. You will make your money. Even if you do it for 50M, you make your 70M, Netflix will pay you $150,000, you make extra change on it, you're fine. Or do you want to be an artistic director like Kunle, for instance, or Kunle has been able, because Kunle was the banker, he was able to merge the finances with the creative. Do you understand? That is what me personally, I know I don't have. I'm telling when it comes to finance. So I have the specific producers I work with. I know that they know how to handle finance. Because if you give me all the money, I will spend all the money for one thing. Do you understand? So Kunle knows how to get the money, how to spend the money.
Is it not you?
What is it?
You go and gather animal clips.
I go use IMAX. If you give me money, I go use IMAX. But what will IMAX do for us? Kunle knows how to get the money for a film, how to spend the money, and how to get the money back. Do you understand? It's because he came from a financial background. Same thing also Jade. Jade came from GT Bank.
Yes.
So those, if you notice it, so that's why I supported, I was on Jade's side between the fight between Jade and Ali, the director of Brotherhood. I was on Jade's side, and this is why. I'm not sure if you've seen the two thriller that was the issue.
Yes.
So that guy did his own thriller. Jade did his own. If you see both thriller, you know that Jade is a business person. Jade was all about the money. That guy was all about the art. That guy was all about, oh, let me show you this, an action film. We are shooting, we are blowing things up. But Jade said, no, Nigerian audience don't care about that. They care about who's in the film. Jade's thriller was about showing Basketball was in the film, Faz was in the film. Do you understand? So if you see the cut, it was about showing faces. But that guy's cut was about showing the guns, showing the action, showing the fight. Jade said, come, this is not going to fly for my country. I know my country people. They was like, no, this is artistic. Jade said, oh, God, forget artistic. You are talking about money here. I have to make money back. This is how we make our money. And it worked for her. She made her money.
And she's still making it.
She's still making it. She has signed a $3 million contract with Amazon for $3 million. Almost. She's balling because she has taken that risk and it's paying off for her now. That I said, she's my most favorite filmmaker right now.
Thank you very much, everybody. See you next week and God bless you.